Welcome everyone to the At Large Metrics Working Group call on Tuesday, 11th March 2014. On the call today we have Cheryl Langdonor, Tijani Benjema, Maureen Hilliard, Devon and Tilaxing, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc and Glenn McKnight. We have apologies from Oksana Frikotko and Holly Raich. And from staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivancourt and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Julia, Cheryl Langdonor, for the transcript record. And today, of course, is a very, well, hopefully not too long in terms of longer than 90 minutes, because I certainly have something to do by the time my 05:30 comes around. But we are going to spend up to 90 minutes on a fairly narrow agenda, which is almost a single-purpose call. But before we make it a single-purpose call, we'll just go through the agenda items from the last Rules of Procedure Working Group call. And Sylvia, I could ask you to run through those. I think there is one on staff that I haven't seen evidence of, but perhaps I'm wrong.
Yes, Cheryl, this is Sylvia. Would you like me to review then the action items?
Indeed, I would.
Okay. So first, I was going to create a new wiki page to consolidate all the comments and ideas and send it to the group before this meeting. And I think I sent you an email with the new wiki page created, Cheryl, and I think you received my email.
No, not that I can easily locate, Sylvia. Certainly when I put the agenda together, I hadn't found it.
Okay, because I created the wiki page. At the moment, I cannot put it on the... Sorry, my computer is also crashing today, so I cannot put it on the wiki page, on the page right now. But I created a wiki page for this. So I will make sure that I send it to you and everybody as soon as I can get my computer fixed. It will be done today.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The second action item was completed regarding to check if the unknown speaker is recorded in the transcript. And yes, the speaker is recorded as an unidentified participant. So that's how it's recorded on the transcripts. Okay, the third one is to include the PowerPoint to the wiki page to be created. Okay, I see that Dev has included a spreadsheet on the Adobe Connect. Is that the document, Dev?
This is Dave. Yes, it is. I could upload a Excel 1 version after, but I've been doing so much modifications, I haven't uploaded it to the wiki yet.
Okay, so that's in progress then. Then the next one was to schedule this meeting. And then the discussion and planning for Singapore, planning of dates and times. So scheduling of meetings.
Yep, that's our next agenda item, which is terrific.
Right.
Okay. Thanks for that, Sylvia. Cheryl speaking for the record.
Sure.
Okay. Well, if Maureen has managed to get onto the wiki page, which I must say I simply hadn't seen, so I'm glad to see it's there, and Maureen's found it. Well done, team. And Dave's going to be uploading his own docs by the sound of it. I guess we can tick off all of those action items and move on. Which now brings us to the meat and potatoes of today's thrill-packed and exciting adventure, which is looking specifically at what we're going to be presenting in our very short amount of time to ALAC and at large, regional leaders included, at the Singapore meeting, but recognising that what we will be creating is the set of resources on this new wiki page, which will be reference material. So, oh my heavens above. Yes. Who on earth is that with a squeak?
That was me, sorry.
Hi, Alan. That's quite an entry. If and when my brainstem recovers from what's close to ECT through my headset, I'll be able to welcome you. Yeah, Olivia,
sorry,
you're right.
Sorry, my other line was ringing, and I picked it up in such a way that I picked up the handset on the line that I also had a speakerphone open on.
Alan, all I can say is I think both Olivia and I, and perhaps the rest of us on the call, but especially those of us who have headsets connected into their ears, hope you suffered as much as we did on that, because that was vicious. Okay. Right, welcome, Alan.
Thank you. I've been here for a while. I was just quiet.
Talk about
it. I made up for it, though.
Talk about making an entrance and getting attention to himself. Okay, I think I was trying to say what we're going to do in this call. Phew. Which is make sure that we're all happy and there's an agreement on this set of resources, this bubble of material that we will make sure is available on the new wiki page that Sylvia's put together. And to that end, we'll at the moment have, and I'd want to thank both particularly Maureen and Dev, but also Tejani, for bringing the group of their work teams back into this very digestible format. We need to recognise a couple of things, though. Let's spend, shall we say, the next 40 minutes going through what you've all put together and recognising that in total, with whatever adjustments you want to make, will go on the space. But we need to spend time as we go through just noting which bits we can select out to do in our short, I think it's 15 minutes, but let's plan for 10 and hopefully, you know, we won't run over time that way. Minutes worth of presentation. Excuse me. sorry, what Sylvia says there is the wiki sphere. Yes, I recognise that.
Okay. This is the wiki. Sorry, it's Sylvia. That's the wiki on the chat.
Thanks. Thank you. Maureen has shared that. That's fantastic. And yet we finished with that when we were in the last agenda item. So we'll go through, and I'd like to make sure this is a fairly interactive bit. What we seem to have is slide 2 of Maureen's slide deck up on screen. So I'm going to ask her to sort of take us through. But Maureen, what I'd like you to do is open at least slide by slide for feedback from the rest of the group. Glenn, I'm just curious because I want to make sure that if you've come here with a particular piece of input for us, that it's recognised and it's dealt with. So with the indulgence of the rest of the group, Glenn, is there a particular piece on today's agenda or in general that you wanted to bring to the working group's attention with today's call? You might be muted, Glenn.
Is it directed to me or anyone else?
No, to Glenn McKnight.
Oh, Glenn, yes. If Glenn could contribute something, that'd be really good because he's been a major contributor to the discussions
thanks.
That
okay.
I've had.
Oh, no, that's fine. He's saying his phone is muted as he's talking about comments with Deb. That's fine. I just wanted to know when to make sure we bring you in. Okay. All right, Maureen, over to you.
Do you want me to start from the beginning of this presentation to actually understand why I've actually put those other ones in there?
Yep.
Can you? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can all get to it.
You've got control. I keep giving you control, Maureen, and you just don't take it with both hands and run.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take it. yes, okay. Well, I started with the 2008 metric. And I'm sort of hoping that perhaps Tejani can actually just give me a bit of advice here. The parameters that he originally sort of like, that we passed over to the RALOs and the other, for consultation, I'm assuming that those were sort of like similar parameters to what actually set up, what was set up in 2008, where we've got the quantitative measures in this table, the 2008 ALEC metrics table, which really focused on attendance, and there was a section on voting and whether people had achieved or not achieved the parameters that had actually been set. In fact, what we're actually doing at the moment is not dissimilar to this, except that I think that we're also sort of like, you know, what Deb's doing, and he will explain. I'm hoping that he will explain all that side of things with regards to the quantitative side of our metrics measures. But really, just I wanted to introduce these first two slides to sort of like just show that. In fact, what we're doing at the moment is not too dissimilar to what was actually devised before, except it's a different approach because the rules of procedure that we are now following, there's a slightly different sort of like perspective. So that's what we've got for the 2008, and especially in regards to the the roles of ALEC members. In 2008, it was restricted to a list of commitments. And what we're expecting now, because of what is in our new rules of procedure, again, the expectations are different, probably a little bit more in depth, not just what they're involved in, but how they're involved in it. So again, we're just in this particular the purpose of these is just to sort of like explain what was the past, what was actually sort of like devised in the past. Tijani, can I have a comment, please, about how effective these two measures were actually felt to have been? It was not carried out for any longer than 2008.
No, thank you, Maureen. Tijani speaking. The one who can talk about that is perhaps Shirin, because I wasn't there in 2008. And I think that we stopped speaking about metrics for the ALEC members since I was in ICANN, but we started speaking about them, I think, in 1 year ago or 1 year and a half ago. So I cannot tell you anything about the historic before 2008 or at 2008.
Cheryl here, Maureen. Yes, I could speak probably ad nauseum on all of this, but I see Alan. So I'll let him do that. Over to you, Alan.
Your line is muted.
Hello, can anyone hear me?
Alan, are you muted?
Yes.
Sorry, somehow Adigo muted my line just as I was about to speak. I'm speaking now.
There you go.
I
hear you now.
I put the phone to my ear and it said line muted.
Well, I can't say I blame them. It's pretty scary.
Well, not when you introduced me that I was going to speak ad nauseum. I would have done that too. Okay. I think the lack of any visible metrics has to do with a combination of things, partly exhaustion, partly we tried to start talking about metrics round about that time and got shot down by one or two people so vociferously that we were just a bit shell-shocked. Partly staff changed and the people who were doing it no longer were there and no one told the new people to do it. So it's a combination of things. I don't think you could attribute it to carefully thought out will. It just stopped happening. And perhaps to some extent we already knew at that point in that time frame who the people were that were problematic, and we knew we couldn't fix it by recording metrics. So it's a combination of things, that just how the world unfolded, not due to some careful decision. And for the record, just on what you were talking about how the rules have changed, yes, what we have now is cast in the rules of procedure somewhat more, but you'll notice the rules of procedure refer to a position description. And that position description was adopted quite a few years ago. So although the rules were not in the rules of procedure, they were in the position description in some detail. Not that we paid a lot of attention to it, but it was there in theory if anyone had chosen to follow up on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl again for the record. Just before I go back to you, Maureen, I think we should also just see if Gisela, I see Gisela's on the call, but if she's able to unmute. When she joined, one of the, I'll put it in inverted commas, tasks back in 2009, once she managed to make us all work far more effectively during the summit, was to be in charge of collection of the existing and ongoing metrics. And it might be appropriate for any comment that she might want to have here to come in at this stage, just from a historical perspective, but if she wants to either type or say something, that would be valuable now. Gisela?
Celine, I think she's not on the call.
Well, she's on the Adobe Connect room, which is why I assumed, and she's also the primary staff liaison for this work group. Over to you, Gisela. There you go, my dear.
Sorry, Cheryl. Sorry, this is not like me, but could you just repeat?
Of course, because perhaps someone else had your attention. Maureen was just asking about some of the history of... back from 2008, we had a number of lists of commitments, etc. And I was just pointing out that when you joined staff and after you finished assisting us through the summit, and you were spending an awful lot of time collecting and collating various metrics. And I just wondered, if not now, at some point, if Maureen's curious to fill her in on some of that as well. But if you want to make a comment on why it appears that we stopped reporting, not necessarily recording, a number of these metrics. I don't think the technology is going to be kind to us today. So, Maureen, I'll encourage you to contact Gisela offline.
No, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
We can.
Can you hear me now?
The technology was fighting perfectly. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Gisela here. So either it's myself or someone muted my microphone. As I was talking to myself and telling myself, January 2009, I took this over from Matthias, for those who know Matthias, and it was explained to me at the same time as we were preparing for the summit in Mexico, and after that, we tried to maintain it, but it kind of fell by the wayside, and then it was never picked up on. And I think several times metrics were mentioned, and whether we were to start off with this list again or try for something new like we're trying now. And then it's 5 years later and we now. Unfortunately, I can't help much more than that. And the table is pretty self-explanatory on how we used to do it. I think just from a personal point of view with the table, it was fairly time-consuming at the time when I joined and did not have much knowledge of what was happening and having to deal with the summit at the same time.
Mm. Thanks, Gisela, and thank you, Eloise. I just really wanted to hear from you on that, if possible, because what it is, and I think this is important for all of us in this work group to understand, is there is no particular evidence that we can find, anecdotally or otherwise, that says any of the metrics we used to use were other than unpalatable. They were able to be collected, they were probably relevant, they were undoubtedly useful, but they were seen to be unpalatable and, as Alan said, quite vigorously resented, if not rejected, by a number of ALAC members. That said, there is no reason why some of them can't be revisited or repurposed. However, what Giesler has said, thank you for saying, one of the things I really wanted to hear from you, the labour intensity for what was probably a banal and somewhat thankless task was quite unreasonable. And of course, that brings us into what Dev is doing as well, trying to make any collection of any of these things smarter, so we're working with unreasonable human intervention and time commitment. I now see Alan, then Olivier, and then we'll go back to Maureen. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you. Just a couple of notes. None of the people who objected strongly are here anymore, at least on the ALAC. Okay. Some of them are still around. And at least one of the people who objected strongly at that point no longer is objecting strongly. For various reasons. The other aspect is I'll try to put this genteelly, the staff person at the time had a rather, if not authoritarian attitude, then dogmatic position.
And that was my job.
That's correct. And it generated a tone that was not acceptable and, you know, it characterized by if we had flagged in those reports the errant people in something other than bright red, it might have been more palatable. But there was not a lot of flexibility in that kind of thing. So...
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
We're talking about a lot of circumstances which came together, and unfortunate, I think, is the best set of words.
Thanks, Alan, and
perhaps we would not have chosen to start doing it at all if we did not have a number of really blatant, and I'll use this, a strong word, offenders at the time. No other group in ICANN, as far as I know, puts together charts to demonstrate that people are not performing. That may come out of other evidence, but not explicitly. And we did that for some strong reasons at the time. And I think we need to decide how much effort it is worth putting into this, because it is potentially heavily dependent on manual effort, and we need to evaluate what the outcomes are. And I would say just because it's in our current rules of procedure does not mean it's cast in stone. Those can be changed if this group decides that it was really a mistake to write something. Thank you.
Righto, Alan. Okay, thank you. And, of course, personality issues aside, one of the reasons we want to try and do this effectively is to ensure that we future-proof for such personality and performance problems in the next generation of ALAC. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. It's Olivier speaking. Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Fantastic. Thank you. I just wanted to complete the story for Maureen's fuller picture to say that ever since I've taken over as chair of the ALAC, there have been some members of the ALAC and some people who have leading responsibilities that allow them to travel around the world during ICANN meetings that have not pulled their weight. I'll be very frank. And I have been tracking this informally, looking at the lists, and certainly I was aware of Gisela's tables, which had to be all done manually and in discussion with staff. It seemed to be very time-consuming to be able to keep track of these things. The reason for my wish that a working group engages in this is for this working group to design ways that will not be onerous on staff. In other words, because I would like this working group to be to formally think of metrics and explore the metrics thing. That would also give rise to some kind of funding, if needed, for some kind of automated system, if there is such a need. If the script needs to be drafted by the computing department or by ICANN IT, if a tool needs to be made, rather than having something as simple as an Excel document that is onerous on staff. This is the reason why this has turned into a working group. It's also the reason why it's taken 5 years, because we just haven't had the bandwidth. None of us had the bandwidth to come into this. And now I guess we probably still don't have the bandwidth, but enough people are active in our community to be able to take this on as well. I would hope that after the summit we'll have even more people that will be available to perform and do things. But yes, I'm sorry to say, even up to now, there are still some members that don't pull their weight. And I have tables, which I've put myself, showing a lot of red for some people. But because we don't have any formal ways of tracking this, then these are not published and are not to be shared at the moment. But this is for this working group to work out. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl, again, for the record. And Glenn mentioned, because I believe his phone is muted, that he thought Dev was trying to do this in response to your part of what you were saying, Olivier. But, of course, Dev and his sub-team in this working group is tasked with doing this because we all recognise the need that Olivier has outlined. And more importantly, well, perhaps not more importantly because he's the boss, but as an adjunct to what he was saying, we also have the opportunity now, as a result of a lot of the feedback and input that we've had over the last couple of years, and I'm not going to apologise for the years it's taken. I think sometimes change has to be wrought by tempering and re-tempering processes until community does have ownership of it. We've had some excellent feedback. We've had some shifting of hard-held positions into more consensus-built ones, and I believe we've also moved towards an expectation of self-regulatory modelling as well. Now, not solely self-regulatory modelling, but there's aspects of self-regulatory modelling, and that's part of what Maureen and the rest of her team have also put together, and by her team I include Dev, because they've kind of been joined at the hip on some of these things recently. The point, however, that you made, Olivier, in terms of resourcing all of this is very, very important, because if Dev's hit by a bus, we're in deep doo-doo. And that's just an example, Dev. I'm not planning to have you hit by a bus, I'll hasten to add. It's just that in a world where talent in volunteers is, and I will use the term, exploited by their generosity to create what will then make a difference to a corporation. We need to watch that very carefully and make sure that we have redundancy, contingency planning and succession planning involved in all of that, and so to have proper assistance which is appropriately funded. And that does not mean necessarily going out to consultants who can then talk to us and come back and tell us what we've said to them. And yes, you may quote me on that, Olivier, that this is a very important thing to hear from the chair of the ALAC. Tijani, I see your microphone open. Do you want to speak?
Yes, my microphone is open. I'd like to say that for the history, if we continue on the history, that's right that I wasn't in 2008 in ICANN, but I came with the summit in 2009. And we started speaking about the metrics 2 years ago inside the regional leadership, inside the rallies. And we had some fights because of that, because some people didn't want to hear about that. People say that they are not accountable to anyone since they are volunteer. And this is a big problem. We have to find a way to solve it. But we cannot solve it by ignoring measuring the performance of the ALAC members. So this is one of the things that we have to do, and we have to find a way, a diplomatic way, to make it acceptable for everyone. This is what I wanted to say. Now I think Maureen will continue, and I will give my report after her, isn't it?
Thank you very much, Tijani, and I value, as does everyone in this group, that intervention. It's a very important one. However, before I give the reins back to Maureen, you see what happens, Maureen? Unless you wrestle those reins from me, I'll keep grabbing them. I see Alan with his hand up. Over to you, Alan.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight something that Tijani just said, because I think it's really important. The argument that I'm a volunteer, you can't tell me what to do, has been made, I won't say innumerable times, but certainly more than once. The retort, which many of us consider appropriate, often has not been made. And I think this group, perhaps, in it, the rationale for why it's doing ends up doing what it does, needs to make the argument strongly that if the overall community believes that certain performance is required, then it becomes a requirement of volunteering. That is, yes, you're volunteering, but you're volunteering under the set of conditions that this is what we expect of you, and if you choose not to do it, then you should not be volunteering. And if we have the nerve to say that, and you know, with rational, reasonable expectations, then I think we're on much stronger ground than we were before. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Big green tick from me. Back to you, Maureen.
Thank you, everyone. Maureen, for the record. Yes, I definitely agree with what has been said, and especially with Alan and Cheryl about what it is that we're actually looking at measuring and what sort of metrics we use, but what the outcomes are and how useful they are to us. And I think that's what is really important. I'm sort of like, if I can just raise Oksana's comments that she made in an email to me earlier. She is actually, I'm sort of like starting to feel a little bit sorry for Dev and the metrics that he's actually sort of like developing. It's becoming horrendous. Reading through Oksana's, she says, I propose to count number of ideas, comments, propositions which meet any support from community, and also the unsupported propositions, and to analyse them. Now, and then I listened to Gisela and the fact that, just even doing the minimal sort of like metrics, measures, and how they just got dropped to the side because it's just too much. I think that what Dev's actually showing us is that if we go down the track of like trying to analyze, count and analyze everything, it's, we're going to end up in the same situation and it won't be done unless, as Olivier says, we get into a very complicated automated system which can actually do that for us. Because, in fact, what Dev's doing at the moment, there's no way, unless you've got someone who's going to be spending 24 hours a day, 24/7, for the whole 15 members of the ALAC going through and analysing every single thing that they say at every single meeting and working group meeting and et cetera, et cetera. So, I think that this is, taking all these things on board, what we've got to present is something that is manageable. It isn't going to be too onerous on staff. It isn't going to be too onerous, I think, on the members themselves, as long as, as people have mentioned today, as long as they recognise that their role on the ALAC as volunteers does have expectations of performance, and that perhaps we should be a little bit more forceful perhaps on implementing those actions when people don't perform and they're already in the rules of procedure. And I think that that's where people sort of like need to be aware that when they come on to the ALAC, that those, all these propositions that are actually put, with, that are already stated in the rules of procedure will actually be enacted. But I have really appreciated that the discussion that we've just had, and very much appreciate the comments. Shall I go back to wherever I was? What page was I on?
Cheryl, yes, I'd like to do that. But while you're just scrolling back to that, because you take us with you, we're in sync with you, we're all in sync with Maureen, I just raised my hand because I just want to make a very small point on what you were saying while you're getting there. The matters of volunteers and accountability with volunteers is a thorny issue, but there are a number of volunteer organisations, particularly those with responsibility, which have as part of the requirement for acceptance as a volunteer to agree that you will abide by the rules. And I don't think for something as important as the ALAC, I'm not saying at large en masse, I'm not even saying, although I'd be very tempted to, this could be applied to regional leadership. But the ALAC, the 15-person advisory committee, could very well be asked at some future point in time to not be accepted as volunteers unless they do seek to abide or contract to abide by those rules of procedure, whatever they embody at the time. So there are tools out there that have been well tested to use that. So hopefully you've got us scrolled back. I trust, Noreen, that where we've got problems listed in front of us, we're going to suggest answers to those problems.
Yes, I'd sort of like to speak to some of those, and Glenn might like to jump in too, because some of them came from the RALO.
Terrific. You're more than welcome, Glenn. Over to you, Maureen.
Okay, great. Now, so we're up to four. Then I introduce, of course, the rules of procedure as they exist for us today, and really specify, for example, what is actually in the introduction, first of all. And in the introduction, of course, very clearly states that, I mean, unless everyone's working together, and operative word being working, together on that, you know, on the ALAC, you know, it's got to be seen to be functioning effectively, and it can only do that if everyone's doing their job. But also recognising the last part of that, where you know, it's important that we are seen to be justifying the amount of money that ICAM doles out for the ALAC, justifying that expense. It's, you know, like, I mean, I think that that is really important to raise with them in respect to why we're actually making those expectations regarding metrics. Then also going into the that section in more depth, focusing on that ALAC members must make regular and significant contributions. Now, Cheryl, I was actually sort of like just thinking about, you know, what you mentioned about, you know, like, when people become, you know, are elected to the to the ALAC, that perhaps there should be some sort of like, you know, some sort of agreement that they, you know, I don't know whether they sign it or whatever they do, that they have to, but they have to agree that they will fulfil the expectations of the role that they've actually taken on, and that includes the expectations of the metrics that are actually sort of like decided on when and a decision is made about what it is that we actually use. I've just noticed that some of my thingamajiggies are have been got gone askew here, but...
Well, while things are askew, Alan, is that a point to Maureen's current...
Yeah, yes, just to bring home something. We only get ALAC members from two places. We get them from the RALOs and we get them from the NOMCOM. We can set rules for the RALOs of what the expectations are and ask the RALOs to approve them or to agree. And should they not agree, then we're going to have an interesting position. The other place is the NOMCOM, and we cannot, we are not in a position to vet NOMCOM appointees, but we are in a position to tell the NOMCOM in no uncertain terms what we expect of their appointees. So just point out that the sources are minimal, and we should be able to address them in an orderly manner. Thank you.
Back to you, Maureen.
Just talking about the NOMCOM appointees, who are they answerable to?
I've answered that question. I've answered that question before. They are not answerable to anyone.
That's right. They're not.
And that is therefore why it is important to set the expectations correctly. But once they're there, like appointees to a number of other parts of the organization, unless they are removed forcefully, and our rules procedure does have a method for removing a NOMCOM appointee, should we choose to go that path, they are not, but they are not answerable as such.
Right. So, in fact, if we could, you say that if we if they were appointed to the ALAC and there was some sort of conditional agreement that while they're on the ALAC they are to agree to the expectations and the metrics and et cetera, et cetera. You said that if they don't agree, they don't have to agree.
Well, actually, Maureen, if such a consideration, an undertaking, was enshrined in some future ALAC, which I might describe as utopia, actually, then the any given nominating committee would make it contingent that for appointment, it would be a requirement that they did comply. So it's a pincer approach, but it's a way around a problem that exists now.
So when it comes to accountability then in our current context, the accountability is to the chair. The chair will make the decision. Or the ALAC as a whole and the chair.
The chair responds to and tries to remediate with a perceived underperforming or problematic ALAC member based on what it says in the rules of procedure. Now, that doesn't mean that other people have to bring it to the chair of the ALAC's attention, the chair of the ALAC. And I think Olivier has mentioned he's keeping a little black book. He's a bit like Santa, isn't he? He's got elves making lists and checking them twice. That indeed he does keep, as chair, keeps a very close eye on all of this. And I suspect that the preceding chair did also.
Yes, I suspect. Okay. It's all handy to sort of understand all this as we're sort of putting this together. But okay, so the whole purpose again of looking at the rules of procedure is to look at where the performance focus expectations are, and in those very first two paragraphs, we're actually looking at regular and significant contributions and active participation and active roles in ALAC and other working group meetings and things like that. So, again, going back to Oksana's sort of request for an analysis of what people say that actually contribute to action items in a positive way, but also an analysis of any negative propositions that they might make. I'm sure that Jeff's probably thinking, how am I going to get all that into this metric that even just getting attendance is actually sort of a bit of a problem. I'm going to be looking at the quantitative, and he can look at the quantitative. So that's how I sort of like see the distribution of our role. So then I've gone into the feedback that I got from the it's a very summarized version, of course, because there was a whole lot of stuff. But I guess in a way, it's sort of like looking at the consultation, the feedback that I got that was probably relevant to where we were deciding to go, but sort of like taking into account some of the things that may not have worked in the past. Some of them, they were coming from personal perspectives, what they'd experienced that they didn't like, and what would be, you know, more appropriate for us to the sort of track that we were going down. And when I'm talking about the original metric models, I'm actually talking about the parameters, the parameters and the models that, you know, the attendance model that I was actually asking them to fill out. And so these were some of the answers that I got back. And of course, you know, does anyone have anything that they'd like to make a comment on with regards to this particular section?
Yeah, Cheryl here. I do. I particularly, if we're going to use this slide, and if we're going to publish this slide, I understand it is what the contributor said, but I want you to remove the word punishment. It does not interpret or translate well. I think we could perhaps have that on the second bullet point, a concern that there was more focus on consequences of underperformance or not doing a job well rather than rewards for a well-done job or something like that. I just want to make sure we don't stick up a word that people will get locked into as opposed to a concept, which is what we want them to be thinking about. Thanks, Maureen. Anyone else? Alan. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I think the word that we very carefully chose in the rule of procedure is remediation, and we should be careful
indeed
to use it.
Yeah.
Or whatever is the word that we chose. But
it is remedial action.
Yeah.
Remedial action is what the concept. So just that one's going to be a red rag to a bull, Maureen, so pull away from that one. Not saying change the intent, just change the word.
Okay. Yeah, that was the actual word that was used by the...
I understand. The proponent would have said that. But then again, you can imagine what would happen if people quoted me verbatim as well. It probably wouldn't be very good at chance.
Okay, I'm okay with that. That will happen. Anything else that doesn't look...
Right.
That was my only concern. Dave?
Hi, Dave. This is Dave speaking.
So I think,
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, great. Just a question, Maureen. That bullet point saying measuring attendance alone was not considered particularly meaningful. I don't know. Perhaps there needs to be... I think I understand it, but... They were looking at the meeting attendance not meaningful. Could you explain a little bit on that point?
Thank you, Dave. I think that in that particular instance, and I think it sort of came up quite a lot of people said, when you just measure attendance, I mean, what you're doing, for example, is not just attendance.
Okay.
There's actually a lot of stuff behind it. But in this, it was sort of like measuring attendance. Like, for example, in the 2008 model, it was how many meetings were there and how many meetings did they attend?
Yeah.
And how many times did they vote?
No qualifications.
Well, in that respect... So that people were saying, well, you know, how do we know that they're actually contributing anything? You know, they might be there and, like, not say a word. I think, but that was the main tenor of the whenever attendance only was mentioned.
Maureen, could we suggest a bracketing or something there that just says value of a contribution should also be measured, something along those lines? Then I have Alan and Tijani. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I think the statement as written is definitely incorrect, because what I think it's trying to say, and Maureen, I think, just confirmed it, is good attendance alone is not an indication of sufficient performance. On the other hand, someone who doesn't show up at all is sending a very meaningful message.
It is
definitely has meaning and has value. So I think we need to, this may well be what someone said, but I think we need to interpret it so that it will not be misunderstood. So,
thanks, Alan.
Okay, thank you.
Tijani?
Thank you very much for both of you.
Tijani?
Thank you, Cheryl. Tijani speaking. I don't agree on the fact that attendance is not alone significant, because it is the minimum commitment of the members. And with my experience, people who attend always, or often participate. So attendance is very important. Attendance is the commitment of the member, and the member is there to attend all the meetings and the calls of the ALAC, because it is one of the main things they have to do. And when they attend, they will participate. Some don't participate a lot, but most of people who attend are participating. So the attendance is very important. Don't neglect it.
Thank you, Tijani. I'm sure that there is no indication in what Maureen is trying to interpret in this bullet point to say that it is an unvalued measure. It's a highly valued measure and, in fact, an essential one. But I think the point in the feedback she got was it is not a qualitative one. Over to you, Maureen.
Yep. Okay, now I will, I'm taking note of these comments and we'll reword these items. That's fantastic. Okay, anything else on that?
Next.
Yeah, I think, for example, when we're looking at attendance too, and I agree with Tijani when they say, you know, like the fact that people attend every meeting does indicate, a measure of commitment, and yet also that it needs to be balanced with the their involvement in working groups and that sort of, and that as well, and their contribution in that respect. So, any other comments before I move on?
No, next.
Oh, right. Okay. Problems. Okay, so I think that this is where this measuring attendance alone is a little bit more is examined a little bit more, in that I know this comment came from Lat Ralo about, you know, like how does a statistic, like a number of times that people attend the meeting, how does it actually show that if they're at an online meeting, that they're actually 100% focused, especially when there's no contribution being made to the chat.
Sorry, Maureen, you've got to insert that, a reference to that YouTube video that looks at online meetings. That's an essential for that point, I think.
My little friend outside on my mango. I have mango trees all around my house, and the chickens just love the mango trees. Okay, so we've got... So that was one of the problems that was sort of like expressed when we're looking at measuring attendance alone, and that attending meetings was not considered a goal. And that's where it sort of like said that the counting the meeting attendance might seem to be irrelevant. Again, please look at the wording so that I'm sort of like not saying something that someone's going to be jumping down my throat.
That's right.
Yeah, shoot the messenger. Acknowledging, of course, that ALS is a volunteer. And that, you know, and I suggest that this last one was, I mean, the second to last one about people being overcommitted. It sort of like does state somewhere that people who come onto the ALAC must be prepared to, you know, give the time that's actually required. But then, you know, like, I mean, I know that at times it sort of like can be, that people can sort of like overcommit themselves to a lot of things so that, you know, they've got to be able to provide some balance. So, you know, there are ways and means of getting around something like that. But I think that the most important thing that's actually already been coming out already is who manages it. I mean, Gisela's already sort of like saying that, you know, like, I mean, with the staff, you know, whatever we put in place, you know, it has to be manageable. Otherwise it'll just get, you know, dropped off again. So we have to be able to get, you know, have some sort of like metric and an expectation of sort of like showing some accountability, showing commitment, showing some, commitment to what, you know, what it is that they've actually, come on to the ALAC to do. But without sort of like making it too onerous on ALAC members themselves or to staff. I've got a real respect for the work that staff are already doing. So, we don't want to have them having too much more put on their plate. Any comments?
Maureen Cheryl here for the record. I'm not seeing any in the Adobe room, but I do have one. In fact, it's one with a little cloud next to it. Not a storm cloud, I'll hasten to add, but a cloud of input. This is one of the slides which I actually had problems with. Having problems with your problem slide. For two reasons. Whilst everything that is there is absolutely valid and I understand it, I actually think it belongs somewhere else in terms of our reporting for Singapore, because it's focused far more, other than the last point, and I would suggest the first point or some of what the first point is saying could be a subset of the point we talked about earlier in terms of the value of just measuring attendance rather than a separate problem point itself. But to a lesser extent, the second bullet point as well. When we come to third and fourth, I don't think they belong there. That will belong and is important, and I'm not underestimating its value, but it belongs when we look at large structures, not those rare, and they should be rare and committed or committable, individuals who put themselves forward to serve on the ALAC. So to some extent, I'd be saying ditch this slide and just look at who manages the metrics, which will lead you into the mix of self-reporting, self-regulation, online and automatic mechanisms that Deb's going to talk about. And the other option, of course, is put up the rules and have a complaints base to it. In other words, if there is an expectation that ALAC members will do the following, 19 things in the following ways, and that is somehow transparent, and it's supposed to make them accountable. Anyone who feels they're not doing that can raise that issue to ALAC or indeed the chair of the ALAC, at least the leadership team, and have it dealt with. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of options then coming out from the who manages the metrics. Olivia's saying this is all human and is pretty fair on each other. temperature of the room. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay, have you read the chat then as well, Maureen?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. I take on board what you're saying, and in light of the conversations that we've just had, very happy to remove that, because I think when we, you know, like I was going through the consultation notes, these were sort of like things that were actually raised. But I'd rather keep it positive, and so very happy to remove that slide altogether. And
so
incorporate,
lose it. Don't lose it. We'll need it, but just not for this exercise.
Yes, exactly. But I still, I think that this is one. Who manages the metrics? I think we can actually put that somewhere, because it is an important issue, and something that, you know, I think that Dave and I are trying to sort of like make it fair on, mm-hmm. you know, like on who, you know, this on the management of the metrics. And not putting it all on squarely on one sort of like side of, you know, on the staff.
Yep. Okay, next.
Okay. So, these were the, moving on to the recommendations, and I think it's from this particular, these points that we've come up with the sorts of things that, you know, that we're actually proposing. The first one, of course, being that as ALAC members, that they should be demonstrating leadership.
Your line is muted.
And that any measures, their performance measures should reflect their role as leaders within the at-large community. And the indicators, for example, that are mentioned here came from, again, I'm sort of keeping them in sort of like basically who are the RALOs that recommended them. But some of the indicators, including that they could mention, for example, in sort of like in my proposal, that they could mention these sorts of things like time and commitment, their leadership responsibilities, any mentoring roles that they have, team participation, and any other contributions that they may, participate in as part of their the various roles that ALAC members have with regards to their activities. The e-democracy tools were something that came from Naralo, and I'm sort of like quite interested in those, and which is the community being able to feed back on what's actually happening on the ALAC. I don't know that we do this for individual ALAC members, and it's one of the things that, you know, came up as a criticism of the model that I'm presenting, and putting it onto a wiki, which means that people could actually comment on what ALAC members are doing. I think as a team we need to be looking at, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? And if we're looking at e-democracy, we're sort of like saying, well, that people should have an opportunity to make a comment. And that, you know, that the a recommendation came that ALAC members should provide a brief report, and that, again, any members that were seen to be underperforming should actually be dealt with, and we've just discussed that those procedures are already in our ALAC rules of procedure anyway. So, any comments on this?
No, I'm looking and not seeing any, and yet again, Cheryl for the transcript record is going to jump in. And then I see Tijani, and I want to come to just double check if Alan had something he wanted to say either now or for the previous slide. I don't like your last bullet point. I don't think it has a valuable place. It has a valuable place in what we're doing. I don't think it has a valuable place in our reporting. it immediately opens up the difference between a RALO-appointed and a NOMCOM-appointed ALAC member. We already have a bunch of rules that were carefully wrought to try and deal with underperformance of all ALAC members. I would just drop that point off. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying I wouldn't be focusing on it in this one. Tijani, and then Alan, if it was something he was trying to say. Over to you, Tijani.
Okay, thank you. Tijani speaking. Again, Maureen, I will express my disagreement about the comment on the report. I do agree, and I find it very well, the self-reporting. It's a very good thing, and really we need to implement it. But commenting on the reports of the members will create more problems than bring good things. If people didn't accept to be assessed against criteria, they don't accept. They said we are volunteer, we don't have to be assessed, we are not accountable to you, etc. How do they? How will they accept to be commented on their reports, especially if the comment is negative? This is something very. This thing may create big problems inside ALAC. Thank you.
Thanks, Tijani. And clearly such a model will need a good deal of tweaking, socializing, and ownership before it would be successful. Alan.
Thank you. I'm going to comment on the last point also. We very carefully, during the ALAC rules procedure drafting and in related discussions, took out the laundry list of things that the chair would do or whoever it was that would do and left it to their discretion. We're dealing with personnel issues. They have to be done sensitively, and the circumstances around them will indicate different paths to follow to address the issue. And I would not want to see anything prescriptive that would limit the chair's prerogative, the chair's ability to respond in a humane and effective way.
Thank you, Alan. Did you have a point for the previous part where your phone was muted?
No. I wasn't trying to speak at that point. I was just pointing out that suddenly a deagle came on and said, your phone is muted. And by the way, I didn't unmute it. It seems to have worked. I forgot it was muted. I forgot it was muted and just started talking, and it seemed to work.
That's all right. I just didn't want you to have missed a point.
So I guess I was also unmuted randomly.
Random acts of kindness I'm used to. Random acts of muting I'm a little worried about. I think that goes smacks of censorship. My heavens, I can have another conspiracy theory developed in this call.
Okay.
Maureen, have you got enough useful information and feedback from us on this slide?
Definitely, and I have made a comment in the chat that, you know, I think that the recommendation should be kept positive, and definitely remove that last point, definitely.
Okay.
Next. Okay. So, then we come up to, you know, sort of like what, I was supposed to fix that up, that's what we're sort of like looking at, offering, and of course the quantitative side I'm not going to say too much about because Dev's going to be giving his big spiel about that one. But the report, the monthly report, I think that with that, and I've tried to demonstrate that, is that the report doesn't really have to be very long, but it does if it just could highlight some of the what the ALAC member thinks are significant inputs that they've had to that meeting in any way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of thing that they should be able to include. Again, I have actually mentioned that the wiki would enable comments and feedback from others. And in a way, I'm sort of like thinking that I guess it sort of would also, and we do have to ensure that people who use the wiki and make comments are aware, aware of the protocols that that go with making comments, and that perhaps that those sorts of comments would be monitored. May go to an adjudicator before they go on or something. Like, I mean, I'm not quite sure how you could do it. But, I don't know what sort of experiences people have had with regards to sort of like feedback on many issues and whether people, are really rude about
sure.
their comments. So, I think that we've got to be looking at ways in which we're sort of like monitoring these sorts of things. But I don't think it's a bad thing for people to be... I'm hoping that most of the comments that people get will be positive.
Oh, aren't you sweet.
But, I'm expecting that they are. But what we've actually got to be seen to be doing is that one of the metrics is actually managed by the member themselves, and the other metric could be something that staff could be responsible for. But as long as so that you're actually sharing that responsibility, it's all not just a one-side track. And as ELAC members, we should be contributing to that measurement ourselves, really.
Comments quick, fine. First of all, welcome, Bodwan. Nice to have you on this call. This is very much a single purpose call where we are polishing up our presentation for reporting from the work group in Singapore. Anyone who wishes to bring something into this slide, I see Tijani, and I'll have a place for myself. Over to you, Tijani.
Okay, now I will do my report, isn't it?
Yeah. Not quite yet. We need to finish with this slide.
Wait yet.
One moment, Tijani. Sorry, I saw your microphone and assumed that you were putting that up instead of your hand. One moment, Tijani.
No.
Maureen, I would be a lot more comfortable with this slide if you considered making two changes. The first one is remove the word monthly after the first bullet point, at the end of the first bullet point under qualitative column, and just leave it to read individual ALAC member wiki pages will record and then have contributions and any action items personally involved with, leadership responsibilities, mentoring team roles, blah, blah, blah. I think that will make it a lot more palatable. In the red line, Wiki will enable comments and feedback from others, perhaps to rework it, and particularly cognizant of the information and stuff that Tijani's raised, both at this and at other meetings that we've had, perhaps make the point there that's more in parallel with the quantitative. So whilst it gives a visual representation, this will give a social representation of ALAC member activities, and within the confines of code of conduct and behaviour, allow for accountability and transparency. Something like that. Do you see what I mean? It takes us away from some of the inflammatory issues, and yet still allows for a far more balanced and transparent as well as accountable thing. Now, the other thing, once we drill down into that, we could put up a set of standards for such a wiki page. For example, it would be highly appropriate if activities in work groups, for example, in GNSO or CCNSO, had to be even just the title of the meetings or work groups had to be hyperlinked to the master page that records interactions and meetings and stuff, and that's then someone else's business. GNSO record their meetings and attendance and interactions in one way, CCNSO do it in another, but our ALAC have a live link that people can follow should they need to, but that's more in the titivation. Any other comments I don't see? So let's move on to the next.
Right. No, thank you for that. Yes, changes will be made. Okay, so in light of the fact that I was actually asking for people to make to do a report on their activities, and in light, similar to what you've actually said, it will be different. This is sort of like the first part of a short report. It's only a couple of lines on each of the. On each of the meetings and what contribution they might have made to that particular meeting, what follow-on was needed or whatever, that they can actually show that they got something out of it, either contributed and or got something out of it that they needed to feed back to the RALO or to their own ALS or something like that. So that... I think that there is, it's not too onerous. And some people, like for example, I've got a lot of things for this month, but might not necessarily be each month that would be that long. But like for example, it might be one working group that you might be involved in during the month that might have multiple meetings and there is lots of.
Understood, Maureen, and I think it's good to put up an example. One of the reasons I asked you to take monthly out of the slide before this is you can then use this as an example where a monthly report is chosen to be given by the ALAC member. And of course, there's some times where commitments might not be as regular as requiring monthly. So this is a great example. I'm happy to have it as an example, but I'm going to ask you to move to your next slide, please.
Yep. Any other comments?
Nope. Move on.
Nope. Okay. That's what I did. Trying to locate that, of course, is like how do you locate it? And I think that on the each, although it was difficult to find for all the RALOs because trying to find the RALO leadership pages, which I needed to find for the NSO report, was really quite difficult for some. But for mine, I just linked it to my name on the leadership page. Until we sort of like it. It's related.
Sure. Maureen, I'm just very cognizant this is current time, so you're getting pressure from me now. This is fine. This is also administration of a methodology, and this is a slide I would delete.
Thanks.
Next.
Okay, done.
Thank you, and thank you is the slide. Maureen, you're going to have a tweak on all of that, and then what I'd like to know is at what point in this style of presentation do we move to what Dev also needs to show? And I'm going to go to you in a moment, Dev, but Tijani has a piece of reporting that he needs to present, and once we listen to that now, so it's over to you, Tijani. I want you, Maureen, to think where you're going to insert that in this slide deck as well. Tijani, over to you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Tijani speaking. Okay. So I will try to speak about the metrics, but how we will assess the performance. So I think that any performance measurement should be done over a certain or a reasonable period of time. And since the term of the ALAC members is 2 years, the minimum period for any assessment, any performance measurement should be at least 3 months period. That means that if today we start to measure and you tell me A attended 2 calls, B didn't attend anyone. So A is performant, B is not. this is false, because it is not sufficient perhaps for the remaining time. It's B who will be always attending and A will not attend. So the minimum period would be for me at least 3 months. This is the first point. Second point, so we said that we will measure the attendance, and thanks to DEV, we have now a means to measure the attendance. It is very good. I think it is wonderful, because it is an automatic way to measure it, and so we don't have any problem here. For the attendance, there is 3 cases, as we said: attended, absent, and apologized. And I think that we need to find a way to quantify the attendance by having a certain rate of the attendance plus apologize over the total number of the meetings or calls.
Yes.
This is for the participation now. I think that for the virtual meetings and the face-to-face meeting participation, Dev also gave us a way to measure, to assess the participation by looking at in the transcript and giving a record from there. So it is very good. But for the participation on mailing list, we may also use automatic record, I think, and Dev has to confirm that. And here we have to, because the lists are always there, we have certain lists that are defined, and any mail coming from my address, for example, would be one participation from my side. So it can be
okay.
Some way to record the participation on the...
Just on that point, Tijani, metrics for the main at-large lists have been collated since before there was an ALAC, when there was just an amorphous bunch of at-large. That already exists in percentages. It's still done by Thomas's automatic IBM script. There has been considerable concerns about how much influence to put on that measure, because, as I believe Alan has pointed out in the past, we get people wishing every nation's national holiday a great day and then thanking other people for doing the same. So that one's a bit moot and a little bit fraught, but it's certainly a measure that can easily be collected. Back to you, please.
Yes, you are right, Cheryl, 100%, but... it is an indicator. We can have the temperature of the participation, if you want. But for the wiki participation on the wiki is more difficult, and they think it is not possible to make it automatic, because it is very dynamic. We are creating wiki pages every day, and some pages are not used anymore, etc. So you cannot have a record, if you want, an automatic record on the wiki, on the participation on the wiki page. And this must be, perhaps we will relay on the member report to know how the participation is. And we will know it because we are using the wiki page and we see everything. But we will not have an automatic record from there. Or the participation on the working group and the lead role there. I think that we can use the transcript of the working group calls and meetings. And there also we can record the participation and the leadership role from those transcripts.
This is
also something that perhaps we can do.
Yeah. Tijani, you're cutting a fair amount in your reporting into substantive matters of what Dev has already said is or is not as easy or not easy to do, but I just wanted to recognise Alan, because I believe he raised a hand on one of the points you were talking about. Over to you, Alan, and then back to Tijani.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, when we're talking about thresholds, I think we need to be really careful. One of the pitfalls we fell into last time was, and I may have it wrong, but I think I have it correct, we said that you must vote in two-thirds of ALS votes, or you are deemed to be, in every given period, or you are deemed to be in violation. And there were periods where we only had one or two ALS votes, which means missing a single vote means you are in violation. The rule was well conceived if we had 30, but it didn't make a lot of sense when there was only one or two, for instance. So I think we need to be careful of that. Number two, in terms of counting participation, it's almost the inverse of meeting attendance. If you don't participate, if you don't contribute at all, there is a message. It may be a message backed by cultural issues, as Cheryl has regularly pointed out, but it's a message. Large amounts of participation may just be that you have your computer to set plus one to everyone's message automatically. And the same can be true for wikis. I tend to be a rather paranoid person regarding computers, and I save regularly when I update a wiki because I'm afraid someone will come in and do another change or my computer will crash or whatever. So as a result, if I've made changes to a page, you'll probably find me, I've made 20 changes to that page, although it's only one, and I just happen to be saving as I went along. So we need to be really careful with a lot of these things. And most of them, I don't think we need to be collecting and displaying. We need a mechanism for quickly assimilating or pulling information together when the chair or when someone identifies a problem or there is a potential problem, and we may want to be able to verify it. But I really don't think we should be putting an awful lot of energy into collecting these kind of statistics on an ongoing basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I don't think I spoke about Richard now. I didn't speak at all.
No. Tijani, that was before okay. you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And second point, you are absolutely right about the participant on Wiki and on the mailing list. But, Alan, it is at least a temperature. We know if you are participating or not. If you are at least sending mails, if you are updating pages, that's what I mean. It will not be something because we were trying to find a way of active participation because people said attending is not an active participation.
Okay.
So those are elements of participation. Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Tijani. One of the things I was hoping to get from you is a willingness or otherwise, without going into the details of what measures will make up a criteria, as to how you felt to incorporate into our record for reporting in Singapore a version of so a sort of a high level version of your go no go range of participation levels,
okay.
which takes us to remediation. If that's what I understood, you were hoping to make sure we did. Have I got that right?
Yes, you are right. What I am doing now is trying to be in line with what Maureen is doing and what Dev is
sure.
doing.
So, okay. What I'd like to ask before we go further into that is, with the group's permission, this is administration now, can we extend this call by 10 to 15 minutes? If possible, I would very much like to do it. If anyone can't stay for that extra time, I understand. I'm not seeing anyone yell or scream at me, so let's assume that's fine. Okay, good. And thank you, Gisela, that you're okay to stay with us for that. So, Tijani, back to you, but what I'm going to ask you to do is focus down now onto what one slide, what you can get Maureen to put on one slide that says whatever the criteria we have, whatever qualitative and quantitative measures we make, here is a plan on what happens in terms of level of engagement and consequences or remedial action or whatever. And I think in your case, your model is more consequences
yes.
than remedial. Okay, so yes. if I could get you to focus on that and just spend 2 or 3 minutes on it, thank you.
Okay, Cheryl, first of all, I'd like to apologize because I didn't send the report earlier. I worked on it from the beginning, from the last meeting, but it was discontinued because I have a lot of other things very important, and you know
no
what
problem.
They are.
Of course, no problem.
So now I don't have the final format. I will do it. I will send it to you, to all the lists, and I hope that Maureen will try to incorporate it in her presentation. Yes. All what I am doing now is to trying to make my work more or less in line with what is done by the others, so that we will have something more or less harmonized. Okay.
Fantastic. Thank you very
Hello?
Much, Tijani. And
okay.
yes, yep. Are you there?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tijani.
If you want me. Continue, Sherry.
Thank you.
Continue,
how much more time, Tijani, how much more time in today's call do you need?
As you want. If you want me to continue, I will continue briefly. If you want, I can send the report and you read it.
Okay. Please send the report, but if you've got a few points to make from the report now, please do so.
One word about the voting. We have the recording of everything about the voting, so this is one thing that we can have an objective recording on it, and it is easily used. For the reporting now, we have a page for all the reports, and it is also something that we can do automatically, I think, because we have it on a precise place. So it is easy to do. And this is all I want to say, except the details of my proposal that you know, but I will try to make it adapted to what I said now.
Thank you, Tijani. And in your adaption, if you could leave it to high principles and not get too specific on the exact nature of the measures, rather the consequences of the measures not being met, because when Dev is doing his work presentation, he will go into greater detail on the quantitative aspects of all of this.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, Dev, I bet you thought I was never going to get to you.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. Let me just, I think what I have to do is go to share my screen.
Yep.
Okay, let's see, share my screen.
While he's doing this, I hope you all appreciate that, you know, I'm giving over all this control to my fellow workers here. This is, you know, this is big for Cheryl. There you go, Dave. You're all sorted.
Okay, thank you very much. This is David Ann speaking. Okay, I've shared my screen, so what you should be seeing is the spreadsheet that I've been working on. So in terms of like meeting attendance, and what I'm looking at is the attendance from ALAC members from 2011 to 2012, and I was able to successfully automate a lot of the data collecting for capturing the meeting attendance. I was able to capture all the meeting dates within time period, and then by looking at the actual meeting pages, gathered the information regarding whether the person was present, absent, or sent apologies. And, well, I have the table here, and it's a long table going scrolling all across. It's update. We have no statistics for the Beijing, Durban, and Buenos Aires meetings, so that's why you're seeing blanks there. But the end result was a graph illustrating in terms of a person's attendance, whether that person is present, absent, or sent apologies. And I think this is a good visual indicator as whether a person is present during meetings, or if there's a concern regarding number of absence or apologies becoming, well, more than the sum total of meetings. So one question I want to ask, and Cheryl, if I'm presenting this at during the Singapore meeting, should I be using actual person's names for this?
My guess is we should probably get permission for the use of those names. So let me suggest that you can presume permission from Alan, from yourself, from Olivier, from Tijani, and from Maureen, but you probably should not go beyond that unless you have explicit permission.
Okay. Well, I could, of course, obscure the person's names completely.
Sounds like a perfect solution to me.
Okay, so I could, just replace the names with placeholder names. And yep. So the statistics will still be accurate for reporting purposes.
And,
go on.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I'm sorry, I'm not on my computer. I've had to come down and get some food as well. But just, I might have misunderstood this. There are no statistics of attendance for Beijing?
This is Dave. This is regarding meeting attendance. We're talking about the meeting attendance during... for meeting pages, for conference calls, there's a meeting attendance taken at the beginning of the meeting, and that is recorded as part of the meeting summary. For the actual face-to-face meetings, we don't have attendance sheets as such. So that's what I was referring to when I say we don't have attendance for Beijing, Durban, Buenos Aires.
Well, we should do. I've asked for them, so staff should have collected those. Mr. Olivia speaking. That should be, we should have those. If we don't, then the record of that has been lost or something.
Hello, Olivia. This is Sylvia. I'm sure there must be some, there has to be recordings and attendance records of all the face-to-face meetings. Maybe they are not available, they are not on the wiki for whatever reason, but I'm sure we can get them.
Well, this is Dave. If you can get that information, I could, of course, update the spreadsheet and expand the number of meetings and so forth.
Can we make that an action item? Sorry, sure. Olivia. Sylvia, we need to make that an action item. I don't care whether they're published on the wiki. I care that Dave has them.
Yes,
right?
Okay.
Dave needs them.
I will not. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Alan. Could I get in for a
Sorry.
Moment?
I see you in the queue, but I heard Olivier, and he's not on his computer, and it's a follow-on. Go on, Olivier, and then Alan.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Yeah, just to explain to you. So... there has not been, well, in some of the, I think the first meeting of the week, the Sunday meeting, there has been a roll call, as in people introducing themselves around the table.
Right.
But in all of the other meetings, I have asked staff to make a note of the attendance of ALAC members, where their participation is mandatory. I know that Gisela has done that in past. I think... Sylvia has done that in Buenos Aires. I'm not quite sure who did it, but I certainly asked for that. So we must have it somewhere on our records. But I have not asked for these to be made public. That's the only thing. So you wouldn't find them on the wiki. Why? Because there is no, at the moment, there hasn't been an authoritative metric for this. And so the only thing I've done so far is for my own personal records. And I guess for the records, if needed, the records of staff, if someone basically is not attending calls or not attending meetings, et cetera, et cetera. I hope that this working group will be able to get
yep.
hold of those. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Olivier, rather than the working group, Cheryl here for the record, rather than the working group as such, I've just asked that to be an action item, that Dave gets that post-haste, okay?
Perfect. Perfect. Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Alan, I still see your hand up, Alan. Is that an old hand or a new hand?
Well, it's the hand that wants to speak now.
Okay. The continuing hand.
Yeah. When we were working on the rules, it became obvious from my, if nothing else, my looking for records, that although we are moderately well organized in how we make available the minutes or the summaries of conference calls, those associated with the face-to-face meetings tend to be kept in completely different ways. They're linked off of the conference agenda, not off of our regular pages, or they're linked off of a different set of pages on our pages, and they don't tend to have the same level of detail. Moreover, as Olivier mentioned, it became obvious that although we record attendance at the meetings by who got on a plane to get there,
mm-hmm.
we did not at that time record attendance at each of the individual day-by-day sessions. The
correct.
Rules of procedure explicitly said we must do that in the future. So we must have records for those face-to-face meetings on a session-by-session basis, and they should be just as public as the teleconference ones are. I don't know whether it's being done or not right now, but it's part of our rules, and it was explicitly put there after a significant amount of debate. So I hope it will get done. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. And remember that for the purposes of our Singapore reporting, what Dave will be presenting is a snapshot example. But, yes, all of that needs to be done. Thank you. Back to you, Dave.
Okay, thank you. This is Dave speaking. Okay, so I've done this counts for the attendance records. And like I said, I was able to produce a graph illustrating, present, absent, and apologies for the various persons. And I think it's a good visual indicator. Just by looking at it, you could see some indicator of, well, some persons have not attended the majority of meetings. So that's probably, that will raise a red flag or a concern, something to look at. So what I started then looking at was to look at, so you've attended the meeting. Well, how do you count participation in the meeting? Somebody could have attended the meeting and, well, gone for coffee, fell asleep, whatever. So my thinking was, looking at the transcripts and therefore counting the number of interventions in the transcript. And I've come up with a sort of semi-automated way of doing this. What I do is count the number of times the word appears in the transcript, which is in a standard format for the conference calls. Where the name of the person who speaks is in capital letters and there's a colon. So by searching each of the ALAC names, the number and for that particular name in followed by a colon, I can generate statistics in terms of the number of interventions happening. And I've started to do so. It's a bit of a challenge, and it's not 100% complete. And again, it comes back to the slight differences in how the transcripts are recorded. I should bring up the sheet that shows this all. Sheet number two. Okay, sheet number two. And it is a dense material. Yeah, but I apologize. But if I look at the transcript, the names for these transcripts change, and it's slightly there's slight variance between each of them. So in the end, what I had to do was to basically go to each of the meeting pages and then copy the link and paste it into the spreadsheet after a while. There was just simply no good, reliable way of doing it. And I did the same thing also for the AC chats as well, the Adobe Connect chats. In the end, I had to just go in there and just, for each of those pages, copy that URL and just paste it in there for processing. So going back to the interventions, I started going through them. I haven't finished all of those things. I do note several things though. The transcripts for meetings that happen at during the face-to-face meetings is done in a different style, where it's not so consistent with our conference calls. So that's a challenge. And in fact, the counting method, intervention method, would not work there. So that's one concern. I have another concern was also regarding the Adobe Connect chat. Because we don't really are consistent in terms of the names that we use to log in to the Adobe Connect. Somebody might use their, you know, just their first name, for example, or they use their full name, and you know, there's a little bit a problem of matching the actual names in the Adobe Connect chats, and that's another challenge there. So I've done some of the interventions for about seven of those sessions, and it's essentially running a batch file. I don't know if everybody's seeing this. So I just run a batch file and I get a text file, and from that text file I just paste it in. Let me just So here's the results from one of the meetings, where I count the number of interventions. Other challenges, sometimes the transcripts may have misspellings. So, for example, Olivier's name sometimes is misspelled. And on one call, Evan Leibovich was Evan Lubovich, for example, was identified as. So that was something, just something to look at. And so when you want to just double-check, sometimes you're just going to have to go to the actual transcript and do an actual visual search and just verify that these numbers match up. So that's what I've done so far. I've been listening to the conversation, and I mean, I understand some of the things regarding the other the indicators. So these are some of the indicators that we're looking at from the metrics point of view. The meeting attendance, right? The interventions in meetings, the interventions in chat. In terms of the emails to the list, the mailing list, there's a script that the mailman, that is part of the mailman engine that runs the list, that can generate statistics on a weekly or monthly basis, that generates statistics. And I think you may well be aware of, I believe it was Thomas's script that runs on the at-large mailing list that measures those interventions. Sorry, that counts the number of emails to those lists. In terms of the wiki updates, theoretically, that could also be monitored in an indirect way. For example, what I've done, you could set up watches for all of the pages involved. And I'm just switching over to my email client. And again, it's very dense. But the point is that I have about 9,000 wiki updates happening to the pages there. So you can certainly measure that as well. I'm not sure what would be very useful, though. And of course, in terms of the voting, that's also going to be a challenge. I hope the Big Pulse system will be able to actually generate those statistics. Otherwise, there will be another challenge to get those numbers plugged into a spreadsheet. So, I think I'll stop there. And
thanks.
That's it.
Thanks, Dave. Cheryl, for the record,
as ever. You never cease to amaze us. And I think from what I've heard in your report today, providing we can either obscure the names for the detailed reporting, unless you have permission, and it looks like you've got some from some of the work group members, there's probably so much information on the other pages that you're going to display that providing we don't include them in any permanent record, that won't be a problem. So what I would want you to do, Dave, is make sure that you're set up and able to do a live demonstration, and what we'll do is depart at the slide that Maureen will be showing that has the quantitative on the left and the qualitative on the right, and then you can do a live demonstration. I think that'll be the safest from a privacy point of view. Do you agree with that, Dave?
This is Dave. Yes, but what I can also do is just, maybe what I can do is I just do certain extracts showing this, because probably people don't really need to see the entire spreadsheet. And I can provide a link to the spreadsheet with obscured figures, with obscured names, sorry. And I just take like the first five meetings and put that on a slide. How would that sound?
Yep.
Okay,
I think that'll work perfectly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dave, the other thing is I would like you to give them a tasting plate, which I think you're indicating you will. I don't want you to take them into the entrails of any of the problems. I'd like you to say things like, with some simple agreement on conformity of data capture protocols. You know, so do a bit of gobbledygook, but you know what I mean. What we're saying is that we need to make it that everything is easily capturable, and therefore some standardisation will have to come into the system. You've highlighted problems to us, but I don't want to highlight problems to the group in reporting. I just want you to say, with a little bit of tweaking and making sure we can actually get access to the data where we expect the data to be and that the data is in some standardised form, we should minimise errors, et cetera, et cetera. However, okay. I see Tijani and then Maureen. Tijani? You might be muted, Tijani.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. I'd like to say that what Dev is doing is fantastic. Is the way that we make our work perhaps implemented afterwards, because it will not depend on persons, it will be automatic. This is, I have heard questions about who will manage that, and we have to make the human intervention as little, as small as possible. And but to be reliable, this what Dev did, we need it to be, agreed on by ICANN and adopted by the ICANN IT, so that it will be any change in the IT, in the ICANN work replicated on our work on these applications. So that we have always the information. We will not have the information today, and tomorrow they will change something in their system, we will not have anything. So this is my general remark about this. It will be fantastic, but we need it to be adopted by the ICANN. Thank you.
Absolutely, Tijani. Could not agree with you more. Maureen.
Hi everyone, Maureen for the record. I was basically going to say the same as Tijani. I mean, we have had lots of people asking for specifics, and I think Dev is actually trying to address those things that people have been asking for, but I think it's important that they do get to see from Dev just how complex it is getting that information, and also sort of like, you know, as we mentioned before, you know, who's going to be responsible for it. And if we can get as much of it automated, that's fine. But, you know, like having to sort of like tweak things when the names are spelt incorrectly in some of the points that Dev mentioned, those sorts of issues can skew those results quite a bit. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going along with what everyone else is saying too about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen, and thank you, work group. I do note we've trickled over our appointed 15-minute extension, but I would like to spend another couple of minutes just doing a bit of a wrap-up and instructions on where we'll take it next. And we'll be taking it to sharing any modifications and final material on that wiki page that was reproduced by Maureen after staff put it together, but it's reproduced in today's meeting chat. The good news and the bad news is we've got way, way, way too much information for the time we have to report back. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and I've already seen in the chat, Maureen, you said you can cut yours to 5 minutes. What I'd like you to do, however, is not so much cut it to 5 minutes, but rather with the culls and modifications we've made today, and putting in an additional slide which will encompass the high-level points that Tijani sub-team is worked on and from his report, and that will take about... That slide itself, I guess, will take around 2 minutes to talk to. Tijani, you believe you could talk to it in 2 minutes once it's done? Just put up a green tick if that's the case.
I think so.
And I'll move on. Terrific. Okay. What I think we'll do is make it into a sort of continuity piece of PowerPoint presentation. Thank you, Tijani. I note your tick. So if we were to, and just do it in your own minds, don't worry about putting it up on screen, staff. You've gone above and beyond the call of duty already in today's call. I'll probably do a bit of an intro and flip through the first couple of intro-y type slides. Once we get into the meat of the feedback and obviously particularly the proposals, the recommendations, I want Maureen to be running it then. You need to decide, Maureen, Dave and Tijani, whether Tijani's piece goes in before those feedback and recommendations or after. My inclination is, in fact, put it in before, but we can talk about that online. And that will mean then we've got somewhere between 4 to 6 minutes to go through and have at least some interaction with the recommendations, and that will include taking another 4 minutes at least for Dev to do a live demonstration, because that will happen as an offshoot in the, I think it'll be about slide 7 by then, by the time things are adjusted, Maureen. Does that make sense to you all?
Sounds good.
Okay, so what I'm talking about is we'll take 15 minutes. It'll be a tag team exercise. I'm going to play intro and coach, and what we need to do between now and the end of next week when we all get on aeroplanes is make sure we have a slide deck and timings with the slide deck that we're happy with. Dave, you need to make sure before we get to... getting on planes that you're happy with being able to do a live presentation. Staff, you've got at least one action item, which of course is to make sure Dave's got the data that he needs for one of the data capture points of meetings to include the face-to-face meetings. And the other piece of action item, which will be on staff but in Singapore, is we need to make sure that Maureen and me and Tijani and Dave have had a test run in the room that this presentation will go off like clockwork to the timing and that we will have no technical difficulties with the live presentation. And that live presentation needs to be able to be recorded some way, shape or form for the Adobe Connect viewers. Have I missed anything? Glenn, you've been on the call. Did you want to type or say anything? Because I know you've contributed both to Maureen and Dave's work. Type away if you're still muted.
Well, Yeah,
Glenn,
I'm
sorry,
unmuted now. It's Glenn for the record. Thanks, Cheryl.
Yeah,
great meeting. Thank you so much for allowing me to attend. As I've said to Maureen, please send me these slideshows. I'll give some comments, and I've been giving my feedback through Dev. So, yeah, Dev's doing a super job. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And in fact, the whole team is something to be extremely proud of. So I look forward to continuing to work with you all. Maureen and Dev, are you happy with our plan? Tijani, I gather you're pretty comfortable with what's going to happen. You've just got to do a little tweaking on the report and then send it through so Maureen can just get a one page, a one slide out of it. And the only thing I will remind you of, on the wiki page, please let's make sure we don't link to any resources which have identifiable characteristics for any ALAC member, past or present, without their express permission. Other than that, team, let's take this offline, or more to the point, online, but in a different format, and shall we agree to have a final draft agreed upon no later than Thursday of next week?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Agreed.
Excellent.
Fine,
yep. Right. Okay. Thank you, one and all. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks, everyone.